Well, I want to talk to you just briefly a little bit tonight from the topic of how to approach Christ's throne. And if I was to give this a subtitle, I would call it, You're Welcome to the Throne. Jesus. You are welcome to the throne. And I want to teach you tonight how to lay claim and how to lay hold to the throne of God. I won't get into all of this teaching because we're going to save some more of it for tomorrow. But the devil hates for you to walk into the promises of the Lord. He'll do everything that he can do to stop you from moving into the blessings of the Lord. He'll create relationships. He'll create wrong people to show up in your life. He'll try to frustrate you. He'll try to aggravate you so that you don't lay hold to the blessings of the Lord. The devil has no new tricks. He'll send forth his weapons, his main weapons to break your focus. And the devil has four favorite weapons, and you need to make sure that you know this by writing it down. His first weapon is delays. See, if I can delay you, I can weaken your faith. If I can delay the blessings of the Lord, I can frustrate you. But can I tell you, Brother Daniel did not allow frustration to show up? You know what he did when delays showed up? He went on a fast. He started praying several times a day. See, some of you get upset, you get mad when it seems like the blessings of the Lord are not showing up quick enough in your life. And so you get mad and you start cursing God. And then you start saying God don't love you, nobody loves you, nothing seems to be working out in your life. And then you get upset. But that's the plan of the enemy, to break your focus and to get you to become upset. His desire is to tire you.
Come on.
Oh, but if you would just wake up and say, you know what, I'm going on a fast. I'm going into prayer. I'm going to seek the presence of the Lord. I'm going to move into praise. I'm going to begin to move into worship. I'm going to get in my word. I'm going to devour my word. I'm going to get into prayer. See, what happens when you get into prayer? You begin to shake the very gates of heaven, and something begins to open up, and they say, what's all of this noise? What's all of this praise going on? What's all of this crying out going on? What's all of this pleading going on? The angels start seeking God. What's going on? There's somebody down there on earth that is sending up prayers. The devil's trying to attack them, but they're sending up the prayers, and the prayers are reaching the throne in the kingdom. And God says, wait a minute. I thought the devil tried to break their focus. I thought the devil just tried to bring disappointment. Didn't the devil just take something from them? Didn't the devil just cause them to lose their job? Didn't the devil just take their husband from them? Isn't their children acting up? But they're sending up praises.
Jesus.
Yeah. No, Master. So his main weapon is delays. Why? Because he tries to thwart or abort the arrival of your desired miracles. He knows that what a delay can weaken you and stop you. What does a delay does? It stops you from reaching. See, if the devil can stop you from reaching, he's already won the battle. Because now you become disappointed and frustrated and aggravated. Oh, God don't care nothing about me. Nobody loves me. Why can't my prayers get answered? And look at, and then the devil kind of show somebody else that. Then he's going to show you somebody that ain't even living right, that's living in sin. And he'll bless them, but you're going to thank God blessing them. You'll think God is blessing them, but he's blessing them, the devil. He's blessing them because he wants to make you jealous. He's blessing them because he wants to aggravate you and frustrate your walk, believer. Don't allow it, saints. Don't allow it. What is this? Why does the devil does not want you to grab hold of the throne of Christ? Number two, he'll send deceit. Deceit comes in many forms. Comes in lies. Comes in relationships. Deceit. Why? Because Satan is a master at deception and error. He knows that if he can infiltrate a generation through erroneous teaching, guess what? He can destroy millions. Because one single falsehood from the mouth of an articulate speaker can derail the dreams of millions.
Jesus.
So So what is the third most favorite weapon of the devil? Distractions. They come in many forms. Distractions. Why? Because broken focus is the goal of all satanic attacks. If I can break your focus, I can break your faith. If I can break your focus, I can cause you to look at the wrong thing. If I can bring a distraction, I can break your and detour your journey, your path. If I can break your focus, I can change your direction. If I can change your direction, then I can bring, guess what? If I can break, if I can cause you to bring focus, and focus causes, a distraction causes broken focus, and then broken focus causes you to go into the wrong direction. Wrong direction produces wrong relationships. Wrong relationships produce destruction.
Jesus, come on.
Oh, y'all better work with me tonight. So broken focus is the goal of all satanic attacks. Why? Because the Bible says turn not to the right nor to the left, according to Proverbs 4:27. And so your energy and your time, what, are too precious. See, if I can cause a distraction, I can weaken you physically. I can weaken you emotionally. I can weaken you spiritually. Why? Because you're looking at the wrong thing. Do you not know that 80%? This is every day that 80% of your energy is spent through your eyes. Mm. And we know where the other 5% goes. That 5% goes to your hearing. 5% goes to your other senses, your feeling, your smell, your taste. So that means that what you look at can weaken you. It can weaken your faith because what you determines what you see. What you see can determine your faith. Y'all better work with me now. And so with the track, so that means that if 80% of your physical energy, if you're looking at the wrong thing, it's no wonder you're tired and you're aggravated. It's no wonder that you have no energy. It's no wonder that you struggle, that you can't even rest correctly. It's no wonder that your body becomes weak and that you're sick with colds and viruses and flus and always exhausted. You have your whole metabolism is weak. And why? Because you're looking at the wrong thing.
Yes.
Lamentation says that thine eyes affected thine heart. What you see determines what you feel. That's why Flip Wilson told you, what you see is what you get, baby. What you see is what you get. So he'll bring a distraction to weaken you. What is the devil's fourth favorite weapon? Disappointment. And you got to be prepared for the devil's attacks. Know where it is most likely to come from, someone that you love or someone that you trust. That's where the disappointments come from. Because you open up your heart and you let them in. The Bible says, for the son dishonors the father, and the daughter rages up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies are the men of his own house, according to Micah 7:6. And so disappointments. Each one is leading to something. And so when disappointment shows up, guess what? You don't trust anybody. You're angry, you're frustrated, you're mad. I'm not going to go to church no more. I don't want to get another prophetic word. I don't want to hear any of this here because I'm disappointed. And nothing seems to work out in my life. Disappointed with others, disappointed with yourself, refuse, and yet you must learn to refuse to play the guilt, what, of previous mistakes.
Come on.
You're a champion. So you got to choose you this day with whom you're going to serve, according to Joshua 24:15. So are you going to give in to stand, or are you going to fail? Are you going to give in to Satan and fail, or will you trust God and win? And yet the decision is yours. And so these are the devil's most favorite weapons. And they're still working today into the lives of people. Because each of these is working with your faith. These produce doubt and fear and worry and struggle and unbelief. So these are his weapons. And so why is that the devil don't want you to learn how to approach and grab hold to the throne of Christ? And why does the devil oppose you? Satan opposes you because you are a potential source of pleasure to God. That's number one. He opposes you. Why? Because you are a potential source of pleasure to God. So he will seek to destroy you. Hello, Joseph. Hello, Joshua. Hello, David. Hello, Peter, the rock. Hello, the Apostle Paul. Hello, Jacob. Hello, Abraham. So number one, he opposes you. Why? Because you are a potential source of pleasure to God. Because there are thousands, literally thousands, that could come to the kingdom through you. You become a voice of God, a voice of God to a people. For the Bible declares in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Number two, why Satan opposes you. Satan's real enemy is God. His real enemy is God. And so because God is his enemy, he's going to attack anything that is connected to God. That's why when you sow your seed and you get caught up in God and you wrap the ministry and you're going to sell your life to God, God, I'm going to give you my all. What you think he's going to do? He's going to come after those that is closer to you, a wife, a husband, a son, or a daughter, and make them like Lot's wife, where they become bitter because they have no eyes for the future. They have tired eyes because tired eyes will never see the promised land.
Jesus.
Tired eyes will never see where God is taking you at. So they can't see what you see. Why? Because they have tired eyes. They don't have the eyes of faith. Then they'll try to take their love back from you. Sometimes they'll try to take your children, keep your children from you. Hey, ayah, na, 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 moshanda. And so Satan's real enemy is God. But because he is powerless against God, he attacks that which is closest, what, to the heart of God, which is you and I.
Yes.
Number three, of why Satan opposes you and why he does not want you. Hear me. Why he does not want you to grab hold of the throne of Christ. Satan's main purpose of warfare is to pin God's heart. Hear me. Satan's main purpose of warfare is to pin, hear me, God's heart, to insult him, to frustrate his purposes in your life. That's his main purpose. The fourth reason why the enemy opposes you. Y'all need to hear this, isn't that? Why he opposes you. Satan wants you to grieve God's heart by doubting God's integrity. Satan wants to grieve God's heart. What? By doubting, come on, by doubting God's integrity, God's blessings, God's promises for you. Yet the Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man, but that he should repent. Have he said, and shall he not do? Or have he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Surely, God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he'll do it. Heaven and hell will pass away. He'll cease to be before a lie comes out of his mouth. Because he set a law in order, a law that he must submit to what he says. Even his law, his words will judge him. Read Numbers 23 and 19. And so the devil wants to prevent the arrival of any miracle that will bring glory to God. That's his purpose. So he does not want you to lay hold or claim or grab hold of Christ's throne, because there's a promise behind it. There are blessings behind it. There are rewards behind it. So he'll try everything he can do to blind you. And so Satan's aim is to, number one, hear me, Satan's aim is to paralyze your planning. Satan's aim is to abort your dreams. Satan's aim is to destroy your hope. And he'll use these different things. He'll use things. He'll try to weaken you physically, make you physically exhausted. So you got to know who your real enemy is. And yet people are often tools of your true enemy. So people are not your real enemies. They're just puppets. The devil who's your enemy.
Come on.
We fight people. And again, that's the devil's plan, and he's laughing in your face. Because you're fighting people who don't really have any power. They're just being used. They're just puppets in the hands of the enemy. We fight people in church. We fight other people when we really should be fighting and dealing with things in the realm of the spirit. The Bible told you that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, so why are you fighting people? Again, a distraction. See, all of these things build betrayals in your life. People, you're setting yourself up for people to come and mess with you. You laugh at that stuff. Okay, God, I got that. I won't bite that bait. I won't bite that bait. You being used by
Come on.
Devil. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. No. You can't go. Get behind me, Satan. I know who your real enemy is, Peter. I know who the enemy is. Get behind me. You're the devil right now because the devil's working through you.
Jesus.
Well, if you choose, if you go there, and if you take that position, and if you go up over here, and if you choose to start preaching, I'm going to leave you and take the kids with me. Bye.
Come on.
Just give me some more.
Come on.
Bye. I'll get something newer and better. Bye. See ya. And I still don't want to be you. Bye.
Go, Bishop.
Devil took all Job had. Guess what? He got a new wife and some more kids. And better than what he had before. More land, more houses. You take it. You go ahead on with yourself. Bye. See ya. You think that that is going to stop my walk for Jesus? You think that I'm going to choose you, flesh, over my creator? It was him that gave me you. You don't think he's going to give me something else? You done lost your
Come
mind.
Come on. Come on.
You done lost your mind. You better get up on out of here. So people are often tools of your true enemy. And that's why Paul told us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, what? Against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickednesses in high places in Ephesians 6 and 12. And so hear me now. The devil does not want you to lay claim and lay hold of Christ's throne because of what you can become. And the authority you start walking. Can you imagine when you take hold of Christ's throne, you become a new creature? You become the very Christ. Like Christ offered up his body as a sacrifice. And says, take, now eat, this is my body. You become a living sacrifice where others will now eat of you. And you start making other disciples. You start making other little Christs. You start making other little Jesuses. And you start touching people. And you start building heaven's kingdom. Heaven's kingdom soldiers.
Come on.
That will go eat into all the world and proclaim the gospel. Oh, say, no. Oh, it's late, but I just feel like preaching. I feel like preaching and teaching tonight. No. You see, Satan has a plan. He has a plan of containing and contaminating. He has a plan to stop the advancement of God's kingdom, and he is always implementing it some way. This means that we are in a continuous war against a spirit of suppression. And yet we should not be surprised when every forward movement we make for the kingdom is countered sometimes by difficulties and then by obstacles and then by persecution. And the enemy will try to bind and hold us back. He will confine us in one place in situations and circumstances, sometimes in our personal lives, in our ministry, in our business, and any other way or area that he can, he will try to stop you.
Yes, Lord.
But we're coming into a time of a spiritual breakthrough. We're coming into a time of a spiritual breakthrough. We're coming into a time of great miracles where we're going to be expanding the kingdom. We're going to be expanding the kingdom. We're going to be expanding our Eden here and now. So the kingdom is ours. We must know and learn how to take hold of it. And so we must begin to move in faith. We must begin to move in faith. And so as we are looking tonight into this teaching here, I'm not going to be too long with you because we're going to continue this on tomorrow. But I feel the presence of the Lord. And so I want to say to you, welcome to the throne. Hey, I say to you, welcome to the throne. And I'm going to teach you tonight briefly on how to approach Christ's throne. And this is why we've been teaching heavy on prayer. Because all prayer is an approach to the throne of God. Prayer is not a casual or a trivial act, but instead an amazing privilege, a glory to God. And yet he condescends to permit what our approaching his throne. But God has given us the gracious birthright of coming at any time and as often as we desire. And so the whole foundation, as we have been teaching on prayer, as we have been teaching on intensifying, availing, prevailing, triumphant prayer, as we have been teaching on prevailing prayer, this is the whole foundation. As we've been teaching on pleading our case, becoming prophetic pleaders, becoming prophetic intercessors, and following the example of our great forefather, the foundation of faith, whose faith was so strong that he had perfect faith, whose faith was so strong that it was imputed him for righteousness. And so the whole foundation of our teaching on prayer, the whole foundation of prevailing prayer is that God has given you constant, instant access to his throne and that he desires you to take a responsible and a active, hear me, a responsible and a active, come on now, an active role what in his throne concerns.
Yes, Lord.
And now, and yet on the other hand, we should always remember that we are approaching him, the actual, the sovereign, the king, the God of the universe, seated in majesty on his throne. Mm. Yet the old hymn says, Minister Rashawn, the old hymn I used to hear years ago, we're going to play a lot more hymns at the church on Sundays. The old hymn, you get some hymns on this conference call, and so we could play some of them at times. But there was a wonderful old hymn, and I don't remember two verses, but the hymn used to say, Minister Rashawn, thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring. That's all I remember.
Come on.
You and I are coming to a king. And yet large petitions we need to bring.
Come on.
And so understand that you and I, that we are kingdom officials, that you are a kingdom official on kingdom business. And so in prevailing prayer, is urgent kingdom business. And yet on the other hand, we should always remember how loved that we are, and how awaited and constantly welcomed to the throne of God, to the throne of Christ. Yet at times, you disappoint, and we disappoint our Heavenly Father if we do not come often with freedom. If we don't come often and with freedom, we disappoint what the Savior, we disappoint the Savior. And if you do not come interceding what in his name, he longs to amen your prayer.
Yes.
And to join in your intercession. See, we have an arbitrator. We have our own defense team. We have our own firm. Minister Sean, begin reading for me Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. I hope that we're not keeping the children up tonight late, son.
Oh, no, Bishop, they need this. I'm telling you, they need this tonight. You hear me? Need it. Need it. Bishop, what was that? Revelation what? Chapter what?
Chapter 3 and verse 14.
Come on. And it reads, Jesus, my God, and unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, and faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God.
Good. And so the angel of the church is the preacher, the pastor. And so he longs to amen, and amen means it is so. And we did a whole teaching on amen once before, and it's easy to be gotten. We talked about amen and how a lot of the Egyptians had amen rapna and amen this, and we broke down the whole meaning and the whole teaching on the word amen. And so God loves to say, and Christ loves to say, it is so. Amen to that. I confirm that. I agree with that. Amen to that. It is so. And so, number one, on how do we approach Christ's throne? Number one, we approach remembering it is a throne of grace. Number one, approach. See, in your time of prayer, in your time of interceding, in your time of pleading your case, in your time, I'm going to be teaching you very shortly on how to pray Scripture. I'm going to teach you and show you how to pray Scripture. So in your pleading your case, in your interceding, in your prevailing prayer, number one, you must approach Christ's throne, remembering it is a throne of grace. It's by grace. It's by grace that we are saved. It is indeed the throne of the universe, but it is equally the throne of grace, according to Hebrews 4 and 16. We read that earlier. And so justice is its foundation. Read Psalms 89 and 14 for me. And so justice is its foundation, but it is a throne of grace. The book of Revelation pictures the Lamb of God upon the throne. What? And 26 times Christ is called the Lamb. Are you there?
Yes, I am, Bishop. And it reads,
okay.
Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy.
Who?
And
what is it again? What is it again?
Justice and judgment.
So justice and judgment. Okay.
On the habitation of thy throne.
Mercy, the habitation of his throne. Okay. Mercy.
And truth shall go before thy face.
So you see why you want to know how to grab hold of Christ's throne. Now, I want you to write down these scriptures. I need to read these for me. I want you to write down 1 Peter 5 and 10. 1 Peter 5 and 10. And then Hebrews 10 and 29. Hebrews 10 and 29.
Uh-huh.
You're also going to get ready Hebrews 4 and 16.
Okay.
And then write down Isaiah 37 and 14.
Got it.
Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Ganana mastanda.
Got
and
it.
Then Isaiah 43 and 26. Isaiah 43 and 26.
Got it.
And I think that should be it. But just also write down 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Because I'm going to talk to you about a little bit concerning the reality of throne life. I'm going to talk to you about on what throne life is. So the throne of God is a throne of grace. Why? Because God is the God of all grace. Read 1 Peter 5 and 10.
But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, Jesus. I'm going to say that again. Make you perfect.
Make you perfect.
Establish, strengthen, settle you.
So really, I believe that to be perfect is to not be in want.
Jesus.
To be perfect. To make you perfect. Now, if I had a time, we would start doing some Greek and Hebrew and other interpretations. But I believe that it's to make you perfect, that you are not in want for anything. Because you understand the kingdom. When you understand kingdom, you lack nothing. If you're lacking, that means that that's a hellish principle. You stepped into hell. To be in want is to be in hell. Why? Because in hell, there is nothing but want. You want to get out of there. There's pain. There's suffering. I'm thirsty. The man in hell was thirsty. Somebody, please give me some water. I'm in want. I want some water. I want this. I want somebody to love me. That's hell. And when you're in want, hell will consume you. Hell only makes matters worse. So you get connected to the wrong people. I want a husband. I want a wife. You're in hell. So you get an Ishmael, which is an ass. Because that's what his name means. And they bust your behind open.
Wow.
And they treat you like doo-doo. I would say something else, but we're just going to say doo-doo. But it starts with an S. And ends with a T. So, number one, approach, remembering it is a throne of grace. So the throne of God is a throne of grace because God is the God of all grace. His spirit is the spirit of grace. Read Hebrews 10 and 29.
And it reads, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who have trodden underfoot the Son of God, and have counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and have done despite unto the spirit of grace.
So the spirit of grace, an unsanctified thing. Now, 12 times the Bible speaks of the grace of our Lord Jesus. It is because of God's grace that his throne is open to you and I. This is his day of grace. He gives us his grace, his unmerited favor. He gives us his grace daily. And so this, his day of grace, when he longs to be gracious, and so prevailing prayer, hear me, when you start building up your prayer life and staying in his presence and praying and add some fasting to it and add some supplication to it and then add some thanksgiving to it and then add some joy to it and some praise and some worship to it. So prevailing prayer enables God to be gracious. It becomes gracious to you. So number two of how to approach the throne of God. Approach the throne with confident boldness. Not as a weakling, not as a coward, but with boldness. Now, the word parousia, or parousia, which is P-A-R-R, E-S-I-A, in the Hebrew, or well, in Hebrews 4 and 16, means freedom. It also means unreservedness of speech. It also means the absence of fear in speaking boldly. Hence, confidence, but it also means cheerful courage. So this is exactly the glorious freedom God gives you in entering his presence. Now read Hebrews 4 and 16.
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne.
Come who?
Come
who?
Let us therefore come boldly.
So come boldly. So this word boldly, or boldness we see here, means freedom. Let us come in freedom. In other words, let us come knowing that we have freedom. Let us come in unreservedness in speech. No, let us come in the absence of fear, but come boldly, in boldness. Let us come in the absence of fear, and speak boldly. And let us come with confidence. Let us come with cheerful courage. That's what the Bible says. Come there in cheerful courage. Why? Because prayer allows you to step into a realm, step into the kingdom of God. Why? Because through your prayer, you have interest. But how do you get there? Number one, Psalms 100 says, come with thanksgiving. It didn't say sadness. It didn't say fear. It says, come with thanksgiving and giving thanks and with praise and with worship. See, prayer opens up these things. And so before you start getting into prayer, you first need to get into praise.
Come on.
See, you can't get into worship without praise. You got to get praise first. So when you're in praise, God gives you the gift of worship. And so you got in there, and then so now you're going to start moving into prayer. See, one is getting you to the gate, and the other one is allowing you to come into the courts. And how do I open up these doors? And then how do I step in this throne room? That's through prayer. That's through prevailing prayer. That comes through interceding and praying and praying and praying. Now there's a holy boldness that comes upon you. See, many of us was going into prayer. We don't forgot the prayer. We don't forgot the praise. We don't forgot the whole thanksgiving.
Come on.
There's a system to God. There's a system to worship. There's a system to prayer. There's a system to worship. There's a system to thanksgiving. And we done missed it all up. We come bringing nothing but problems. And what you think God's going to do when you bring him all your problems? He only going to magnify them. Because whatever he touches increases. So why would you bring a problem? Why don't you bring worship and praise? Why don't you bring praise and worship? Why don't you bring thanksgiving? Why don't you do that? Let's do that first. Then when you get there in boldness, now you said in your word, Father God, you said in your word that I'm the head and not the tail. You said, Father God, that I'm the head and not the tail. So now you are pleading your case. Why? Because you are reminding God of what he said in his word.
Come on.
That's cheerful courage. That's boldness. So, when your king urges you to come and make your request known, why should you doubt him? See, with the Lord, who loved you enough to die for you, asking you to join him in his intercession, why? Because he's interceding for you. Asking you to join him in intercession, why should you hesitate or fail to be eager to intercede and prevail in prayer? So number three of how to approach the throne of Christ, approach the throne with openness and sincerity. Don't try to hold nothing back. Don't try to hide your sin. Don't try to hide your weaknesses. Come with sincerity and openness. You see, the all-seeing eye of God has observed every aspect of your need that you bring before him. He knows how it would influence his royal purpose and how urgently it is needed. He knows all. Listen, he knows all the reasons why the need is there. He desires you to share openly and fully, hiding nothing. Just as Hezekiah spread, come on, just as Hezekiah spread the threatening letter, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Sennacherib, 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 before the Lord. Read Isaiah, a man of God, chapter 37, verse 14.
And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers, and it read, And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord.
So he took that letter and spread it before the Lord. He
yes,
took
Lord.
That situation and spread it before the Lord. Here, God, you, I'm giving. It's like the court comes and says, you know what? We got a judgment against you. Or the mortgage company comes and says, we're gonna take your house. You get all upset and throw it someplace when you're supposed to take that letter. Okay, let me take this into the throne. Let me get into prayer right now. Let me get into prevailing prayer right now and lay that thing out. Say, here it is, God. Check it out. Now, what you got to do about it? Because you're my lawyer. You're going to fight for me. You said you're going to fight for me. You
Come
said
on,
vengeance
man.
Is the Lord. So what you going to do about this here?
Come on. You know what you're talking.
Yeah, no, my son. Here, just like Hezekiah did, I'm bringing this to you. Here you go, here it is. I'm even open it up. Here it is. Here's the envelope. Here's the letter. Take a look at this. Now, what you going to do about this here?
Come on. Yeah.
Because you gave me this house. You told me to walk by faith. Here it is. What you going to do about it?
Come on.
I know Jesus is my intercessor. I know he my lawyer. He working for me too. Now, what you got to say about this here? Who going to settle this here? Who's going to go fight on my behalf? Who's going to be my advocate? Who's going to be my attorney? Who's going to work this thing out? Here it is, Lord. Here's the situation.
Come on.
My mate said, if I follow you. In fact, here's a picture, Lord. You already know how she looks, but here's another picture. And here's all my kids, too. Here's all my kids, too. Here it is, God. Here they go. I give them all back to you right now. Here's the name of my boss that just wrote me up for no reason. They're trying to fire me. Here it is. Here they go.
Heavy. Let's go.
So keep reading. Hezekiah did what? Concerning his messenger?
Wow. Oh, Lord. Hold on, Bishop. you got me on fire over here. Hold on. Give me 1 second. Because you all in my business. Come on.
Yeah.
The Bible says, and Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers, and it read, and Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. That's verse 14.
Okay, and he spread it before the Lord. So this means that you and I should present all the facts and the reasons. We're supposed to present all the facts and the reasons. And so the more fully that we share the situation with the Lord, the more easily we'll be able to prevail in prayer. Now read Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, and then head over to chapter 43, verse 26.
Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 reads, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they may be red like crimson, they shall be as wool."
Good. So God is saying, now we can reason and work this thing out. Come, let us reason together. I know all your little dirty sins, all your little kinkiness, all little things you've been doing. I know all of that. But we can work this out. I just need you to be open with me. I just need honesty. I just need you not to lie to me. Don't try to hide it because I know everything. I know the hairs on your head. Don't try to lie to me. I know every little thing about you. Don't lie to me. We can reason this together. Now expose yourself. Tell me. I already know, but I want to see where your heart is at. You tell me. Be open and honest with me. Because if you're open and honest with me, I can work with you. But if you lie, if you lie, your sins will destroy you.
Come
I
on.
Hate it. I don't like lies. I hate liars. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. Because I can't trust you. And if I can't trust you, you don't want to see my hand of judgment. Why?
Jesus.
Because justice, come on, justice and judgment go together. I can be just or I can be a judge. I can bring justice or I can bring judgment. I can bring you life, or I can give you death. What's our next chapter? Let's go to 43 and 26.
And it reads, "Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together."
Put who in remembrance? God is saying what?
Put me in remembrance.
So now we know God don't forgive, but he's telling you. He's giving you divine permission now. He's giving you divine authority. I already know it, but I'm going to tell you what. I know what I told you, and I know what I said I'll do for you. I already told you that when I created your first father and your mother in Genesis 1, I said to them that they are blessed. When I said that they were blessed, I knew that you were in them because without them, you wouldn't be here. So when I call them blessed, it's generational blessings. When I call them blessed, I was calling you blessed. When I told Abraham, those that lie on you and those that persecute you, I persecuted them. I told you that those that bless you, I'll bless them, but those that curse you, I'll curse them. He already told you that. And so you were already in the loins of Abraham already too. And so as I was blessing Abraham, I was blessing you. As I blessed David, I was also blessing you because you were him. And as I blessed Solomon, I was blessing you. And as I was, come on. And as I blessed Christ and what I did through Christ, I was already doing it through you too. So he's saying now, put me into remembrance of what I said. Let's see. You know what he's telling you? Let's see how much you really know, or do you remember the blessings of what I said to you? I'm going to start searching scripture. I'm going to start searching. I just heard this. And I'm going to put an ebook together. I want to find all the promises and the blessings that God has spoken over us and put it in an ebook and do some writings on it. It's going to be called the Blessing Book. How about we just call it Put Me in Remembrance?
Come on.
So when something show up, we go right to that book. The scripture says, but God, but you take that book and lay it out while you prostrate on the floor and you're on the threshing floor. You just get down and say, but you said in your word. Now remember, I'm coming boldly as you stated, Father God, and I'm putting you into remembrance. Jesus. You said so-and-so. I didn't say it. You said it. I was not hearing it natural. You said in your word that you would do so-and-so. You said that those that are contrite, those with a broken heart of what you do for, you said that you would do so-and-so. You said that you take pleasure in the prosperity of your service. You said this, Father God, and quoting scriptures and telling and bringing God back into remembrance of what he said concerning you and your household. So read, son.
It says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together.
Come on. Let us
declare
plead
thou
together.
That thou mayest be justified.
You know what? I could say Selah right now. If you ain't got a seat in the ground yet tonight,
come on.
I would get on the phone and ask you, now tell me about your life right now. Tell me where you at, what you doing, what's happening in your life, and I'm going to point it right back. Because you don't know how to give.
Mm.
You want something for nothing. You want God to open up his hands and you got your hands closed.
Jesus.
Number four of how to approach the throne of Christ. Approach the throne with faith. Yeah, I think I'm going to say Selah tonight, and we're going to finish this another day. We're just going to go ahead and say Selah. Because I got a whole lot more stuff to get into here. I got a whole lot more. But let's just give you number four. Approach the throne with faith. Why? Because a throne, a throne is a place where royal answers are given, where needs are presented and discussed.
Jesus.
It is a place where the king makes decisions. Remember, when you are a child of God, you do not come as a roving beggar. See, y'all been coming as beggars. Gimme, gimme, Jimmy, Jimmy, gimme, gimme. I have a need. Gimme, God, gimme, 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 gimme. You haven't even offered a praise yet. You haven't even offered a thanksgiving. You want God to bless you. Where's your offering? Where's your sacrificial seed? Where's your sacrificial praise? You haven't given it. Why? Because praying is an offering. You haven't even done that yet, and you want God to give you something. But you come as a praying beggar, as if God is keeping something from you, you liar and you thief.
Wow.
You liar and you thief. You're a thief. Your father was a thief, so you're a thief. And you want him to bless you, but you're a thief. You give no offerings. No offerings of praise, no offerings of thanksgiving, no offerings of worship. No offerings of giving thanks. Have you thanked him today? Did you thank him for waking you up? Did you thank him for getting you home? Did you thank him for waking you up in your right mind? That's an offering. Don't take a whole lot to please God. Just acknowledge him. Give him a little bit of praise. Give him a little. Say, you know, God, I gave my job 8 hours of work. I'm going to give you an hour of my time. I'm going to get in your presence.
Wow.
And so, remember that you are a child of a king. You are a child of God, and you do not come as a beggar hoping to get crumbs and leftovers. You come as a prince. See, some of y'all been coming in the wrong name. You've been coming as a weakling. You've been coming as a pauper. You've been coming at, not even as a prince or a princess. He don't even know you. Depart from me because I know you not. You've been coming in your own name and not even in the name of Jesus. You don't even pray in the name of Jesus. And you think he's going to recognize you? He don't recognize that. God only speaks to God. God only knows God. The Spirit, the God in you. That's why Jesus, I and my Father are one. When he sees me, he sees himself. And when I see him, I see me. Because I and my Creator are one. The very same one. There is no difference. That's why Joshua can hang around the mountain. Why? Because when God saw Joshua, he was really seeing Moses. Because he saw his heart. Anybody else came even near the mountain, God would slay them. But not Joshua. Because when Moses was praying, what do you think he was doing? He was praying too. He hung around that mountain at almost way more than halfway up. He was looking right at what was going on. God never killed him because he saw his heart. When Moses was praying, Brother Joshua was praying too. Jesus asked his disciples three times, y'all can't even hang out with me for 1 hour? I'm going to go through something that is so traumatic. The sins of the world is getting ready to be dumped on me. The sicknesses of the world is getting ready to be put inside of me. I'm going to carry that. I'm going to carry AIDS and sickness and all these diseases. I'm going to carry all of this sickness and the disease of the world. I'm going to carry all the sins and the pains and all the sufferings of the world that every one of you will go through. I'm going to take all of that on and carry it right now while I'm on the cross. And I need you for 1 hour. Can you hang out with me? I just need you to pray with me. God is looking for your prayer. He's looking for your praise. He's looking for your worship. We told you the other night that angels are always coming for your words. Every minute of the day, an angel is coming for your words. So, you must come as a prince and a member of the royal family. You come as an official of the king's court. You come as the kingdom partner and prayer partner of the son of the king. You see, during the days of the Persian Empire, only the most privileged of the nobility were permitted to stand in the presence of the king. And then only a few at a time, it was thought to be the highest privilege of a human being. But you and I, we are given permanent and instant access to the throne room of the king of the universe at any time. What a privilege. What nobility. What royalty. Hope y'all are getting this today. What an honor. What privilege. Such nobility. Jesus. So we are giving permanent, instant access to his throne. Instant access to the throne room of the king of the universe. And so you and I are commanded to come and to ask. It's a command. Come and ask. Come and ask. See, remember, prevailing prayer is primarily for things related directly or indirectly, hear me, or indirectly or directly to the king's own interests and his desires. And so if you can ask help or a favor from another, how much more can you petition what the Almighty God for that which causes him no embarrassment or loss, but on the contrary, advances what his kingdom. Hear me, beloved. When we pray, when you and I pray, hear me, when you and I pray, hear, we are standing what in the palace on the glittering floor what of the king's own reception hall, and thus we are pleased and we are placed upon a vantage ground.
Yes, Lord.
You see, in prayer, we stand where angels bow. In prayer, we stand where angels bow with veiled faces there. See, they can't even look up. They bow. They can't even look up. But you have the opportunity to stand up in dignity and in authority as a prince. Why? Because you have royalty. You have special rights. You have privilege. You have direct access.
Jesus.
So in prayer, we stand where angels bow with veiled faces there. Even there the cherubim and the seraphims adore before that self-same throne to which our prayers ascend. Listen, where your prayers are going at. Angels are bow, cherubims and seraphims. And so your prayers are ascending in that same room, the same place. Hear me, beloved. Oh, number five. We're going to stop at number five. And y'all going to start moving in faith and getting your seat. And some of you double it up, triple it up. I'm telling y'all, if you follow my instructions, it is going to work for you. Number five, approach the throne with love and joy. Approach eagerly and lovingly, for God is your Father. Approach with loving gratitude for all God's goodness to you. Remember how faithful he has been to you. Approach with love burning, hear me, approach with love burning and glowing in your heart for Jesus, for his kingdom, and for those who pray for love because God loves you. Approach the throne with eager joy. You're asking for things that God longs to do. He has ordained that even though he desires to do what you ask for, normally he does not act what until you pray. So God is thus even more glad for you what to come in prevailing prayer than you are glad for the opportunity. So come in prevailing prayer. Come in prevailing prayer. And being glad that you're honored with the opportunity. You see, saints, your prayer time is always a joy time to the Lord. Hear me. Your prayer time is a joy time to the Lord. He loves it. That's my child praying right now, seeking my presence. That's my child praying. They're praying for such and such. They're interceding. They're carrying a prayer burden for someone. They're fasting for more of me. They're fasting for more of me. They desire more of me. And because they desire more of me, I'll give them more of me. I want more of them so they can have more of me. And so we must approach with joy because we have the privilege. We have instant access and eager welcome at the throne. And so approach with joy. Why? Because God's throne is a throne of grace. Approach with joy. Why? Because all of God is yours. Approach with joy because of all God's very great and precious promises. Read, son, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4.
Yes, Bishop. Wow, this is phenomenal. This is phenomenal. And it reads, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
So we are partakers. We have the divine nature. We have God's nature. We have the nature of Christ in us. So approach it as such, of one that is of royalty. Of one that is of royalty. So approach rejoicing not for what God is able to do, but also for what you are expecting him to do. But I tell you, beloved, I tell you, dear saints, I tell you this, dear saints, there is something even greater and more amazing than access to the throne. There's even more than that. There's more. There is better. There's always better. There's always more that God desires to give you. See, just the throne, that's just a taste of what is about to come. That is just a prophecy, a prophecy of what is to come. And so there's even greater and more amazing access to the throne. What? Because the Bible also assures you that you actually sit down with Christ on his throne. Well, y'all didn't hear that. Just getting to the throne is one thing. But Christ said, you'll be seated in my throne. Read Revelations 3 and 21.
And it reads, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with the Father in his throne.
Okay, wait a minute. If we can abide by these five steps, but before we can really start getting into this whole next level, we got to be overcomers. We can't be quitters. We can't be losers. We can't be weaklings. We got to be champions. And even if we fall, we got to get back up. Because you're only a loser when you start blaming others. You're only a failure when you start blaming situations and things and like, well, my mom or my daddy. No. See, though he may fall seven times, but he gets back up. So, there's even so much more than just having access to the throne. How about sitting in the throne? So what am I saying here? You start sitting in Christ. Because he says, I allow him to sit in my throne, even as I sit in my Father's throne. Now just imagine, you got God, and Christ is seated in him, and then you seated in Christ. Well, if I can shout right now, the house around me here, we might start calling the police if I can shout.
Come on.
If I can yell the way I want to yell right now, the windows and the glasses may break in the house. But something inside of me is yelling. And you know what? You can yell and still not open your mouth. There's something happening in the heavens. Somebody has got a breakthrough. Somebody just got something. As I'm yelling, you don't hear me yelling. That sound is going into your houses and it's working in the ears of your mates and your loved ones and your children and in your situation. You're going to start seeing breakthrough.
Come on.
That was a holy yell. That was a holy Shabbat. That was the kind of yell that when the lion is getting ready to be killed by another animal and he's weak and he knows he can't take on too many of his opponents, of his enemies, when he can't yell, when he knows that he is at the point of death, he's been injured because he's trying to fight off too many individuals, he sends out a roar, but it's not a roar where I'm afraid, where I'm in fear. No. He sends out a roar because he's summoning all the other lions that is in the nearby area. And they know that this is not a roar of fear because it's not the normal roar, and they come running from all sides. And when they come, the first thing they do when they get there,
Yes, Lord.
What they do when they get there, you would think that they would start attacking those that has injured the lion. No. They come there bold and strong, and what they do, they'll finish off the lion so that the enemy don't have a chance.
Wow.
You have to work with me now. So they'll finish the lion off, they'll kill him, because they must kill him in the face of their enemy. Why? Because if they kill him, then they're saying, no, we kill our own, not you, baby. You won't kill this one here. We won't give you that authority. We won't give you that privilege. And then all hell break loose, and they go after the prey, and they kill him. Some may get away, but they take a stand, and they let everybody know, nobody touches ours. We punish, and we kill our own if we have to. So what happens when you send out this holy yell? You're summoning angels. You're summoning spirits. You're summoning the king of God and the power from the king of God. And says, oh, no, 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 devil. You can't touch that one. That one belongs to God. We'll fight for them. We'll stand for them.
Come on.
All God. And so when Christ is going to throw it, say, no, 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 no. Jesus said, no, 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 no. I take my life. I lay it down. I pick it up. This has nothing to do with you, devil. This is my own choice. I chose this path. You're not winning here. I'm not dying. I'm not going into the tomb. I'm going into the womb because I'm going to give birth to somebody. I'm going to give birth to Charlie. I'm going to give birth to Minister Rashawn. I'm going to give birth to somebody on this line. I'm going to give birth to Evangelist. I'm going to give birth to this person over here. Why? Because I'm going into the tomb. It is not the womb. I got a burst of faith. I got a burst of miracles. That's it. That's it. The teaching is done. We got to finish this tomorrow. That's it. That's it.